Thank you. How is my volume on this mic? Can everybody hear me okay? Good, thank you. It's good to be here with you again. This is the third in of four miniseries, and I'd like to thank those who sent me emails throughout the week. I greatly appreciated getting your questions and comments. And in a couple of emails, there were actually the same question about identification. They had questions about what exactly is identification with thought, how does it play out in our lives, and how can we see through it? And this question I see as fundamental to awakening, because awakening is about coming out of identification with thought, coming out of that false sense of self, which we feel is so true when we identify with thought. Thought that comes and goes. We're taking ourselves to be that which comes and goes, and we don't know that we are always. But rather than talk about identification with thought and share about what it is and what it isn't, I feel it might be, I'd like to invite everybody to now sense what is when there is no identification with thought. Because I don't want you to believe anything that I'm sharing. I invite everybody to sense it for themselves, to see for yourself what is right now when we're not believing a thought, when we're not grabbing hold of a thought, when we're not pushing thought away. We're just allowing thought to be and then sensing that which is observing thought or allowing thought. So that which is sensing thought or observing thought is not thought. So we're allowing thought to be and sensing that which is allowing it. So now, in this moment, if you're willing to just sense what is when everything in your experience is just allowed to be. And then notice. Notice the nature of that which is observing or allowing thought. The nature the sense of it. So you're just noticing if there's anything now lacking, if anything additional is needed. And this is very significant when we get a sense of that which isn't caught up in thought. There might be just a subtle sense of stillness, openness. And then when we trust this sense of stillness, and then we feel as if it's gone, we feel as if something is now lacking, then that contrast between stillness and that sense of contraction becomes very pronounced. We sense that sense of lack is then not natural to us when we trust that sense of stillness as our natural state of being. Then we more quickly notice when we're feeling that contraction or that sense of lack. Previously, we thought it was normal. Everybody seemed to be stressed out, and that state of that level of experience seemed normal. But when we get a sense of stillness and we trust it, then that state of contraction no longer feels normal. It doesn't feel natural. And then we begin to question it. And we can look and see what is actually creating that impression of lack. It's very helpful to see in our own experience what is creating that sense of lack. Many teachers share that identification with thought is what creates the impression of lack, but this is nothing to be believed. You have to look in your own experience and see that dynamic for yourself. It becomes very clear when we take the time and we look and we see it very clearly that it is only identification with thought that is actually creating that sense of lack. That lack is not actually real. And that sense of lack is. It could be a sense of lack in life or with ourself. Even when we judge the weather to be lousy, that's not a judgment that we normally consider as relating to ourself. But when we judge anything, even the weather, we feel a sense of lack that the weather needs to be different in order for us to feel a sense of well-being. And when we see that dynamic in whatever judgment we have, it could be of other people, our past, what we perceive to be our future. We're judging something to be wrong or lacking. It immediately creates this sense of lack within ourselves. And so our perception is clouded over. Our perception is being filtered by our belief systems, our beliefs. And one teaching that I greatly appreciate in the Course in Miracles is how it's stated again and again how correct perception leads to knowledge. And we have the choice in every moment to either perceive correctly or not. And when we perceive through our filters of beliefs are always filters where they're coloring our experience of now. We're looking through our beliefs, whatever they may be, and we're actually feeling as if they're true. So beliefs are filters that color our perception. We're not directly perceiving life or sensing life now whenever we look through our beliefs. Our beliefs can change, but the filtering stays the same. So if we're truly interested in perceiving life directly or sensing life directly, we have to just for a minute drop our beliefs. Is there anybody who would like to share anything that came up for them when at the beginning we were looking and sensing life directly? Was there anybody who experienced anything other than stillness? Yes, I see your comment, Regina. Looking and sensing directly is a great practice. Yes. Correct perception leads to knowledge, the knowledge of who we actually are, that which doesn't come and go. Because as if we perceive through our beliefs, then those beliefs change. They come and go. They go from one to the other. They can go from positive to negative, back to positive. They're always flip-flopping. They're not consistent. And they're very illogical. If we really look at our beliefs, they don't make sense. But when we sense life directly, we sense now directly without any overlay, there is a consistency. And this that we're sensing is uncaused by anything. It's uncaused and it's unaffected by conditions. But again, this is not something we need to take on as a belief, but to really look in our own experience. So when we get a sense of this stillness, this peace. And then during our day, if we feel it's gone, we have an opportunity to look and see and just ask the question, what is now true? And then sense the answer. Not think the answer, but sense the answer. Sense what is right now. So this allowing and sensing. Sometimes There's the pointing, observe your thoughts and feelings. So with this observing, what we're doing is we're just allowing them to be without interference, which is a very good practice. We're not identifying with thoughts. But we need to take the next step too, not just to observe, but then to sense that which is observing, sense that which is, we could say, allowing our thoughts to be. So allow and sense. Not allow and think. Not think about the thoughts that we're allowing. That's not really allowing. There's a line by Rumi. He says, beyond the realms of right and wrong, there is a field. I will meet you there. And here, he too is pointing to that which is beyond identification with thought, beyond the realms of right and wrong. There is a field. I will meet you there. Actually, it is only in that field that we can truly meet. And it's not really a meeting, it's a meeting of understanding that we are already one. But when we're in the realm of right and wrong, this and that, we're in the realm of identification with what we're not. We're identifying with what's coming and going, and we're missing that which is always here. That field is what allows what comes and goes. And what comes and goes is fine. There's really no problem at all with what comes and goes, thoughts and feelings. But again, it's only when we identify with them. It's like we're pulling them to us, believing them to be who we actually are. We don't think that a thought about love is love. But for some reason, we've been very conditioned to believe that a thought is actually the truth. A thought is a symbol. They can be wonderful pointers to truth, but they're not the truth. We can sense truth. We can know truth directly in our experience. And then we can use thoughts and words to point. And this sensing of truth we have to be willing to be open to however it wants to reveal itself to us in the moment, which may be very quiet and very still. But in that quiet stillness, if we truly are open to it, we can notice that there is nothing now lacking. And this is a very significant noticing. But we have to be willing to just drop all expectation of how we feel or it should, we should, what we should sense, especially if we've heard a lot of teachings before. We've listened to other teachers maybe sharing their awakening experience, which might have been quite dramatic and profound. So we have to drop all of that. Otherwise, we could miss what is here right now. Last week, I think it was, I shared a short account in Ramana Maharshi's book, I Am That, and I'd like to share it again from a slightly different perspective. In that, he shares about a woman who asked him, "What is self-realization?" And he said, he told her the story of a woman who lost her necklace. So she went around asking friends, "Have you seen my necklace?" Until she came to one kind friend and asked, "Have you seen my necklace?" And this kind friend said, "Sense the necklace around your own neck." So the kind friend's response was not, "The necklace is around your neck." No. The response was, "Sense the necklace around your own neck." If the friend had said, "The necklace is around your neck," then the friend would have had to believe what she had been told. But to point in this way, sense the necklace around your own neck, this is pointing out that self-realization is not a belief. It is within your own direct experience right now, as you sense what is right now in your own experience. The necklace, self-realization is revealed. But if that woman had heard others talk about losing their necklace and then finding their necklace and how dramatic of a discovery it was, and she had taken on those expectations, she might have heard one person talk about finding her neck or discovering her necklace around her neck, and she felt like she was floating on air. Another one may have discovered the necklace around her own neck and gave the account that it felt like angels were flying around her and everybody seemed as if they were melting into one. So, if she had taken on those expectations and then was directed, sense the necklace around your own neck. It is very likely she would have missed what is in her own experience because she held those expectations in her mind. We have to be willing to drop everything now if we want to discover what is now. And then we have to trust it. This that we are may initially reveal itself as very, very quiet and subtle. But if we trust it, it will reveal itself more and more. And our whole life will not be the same because life not only wants to know itself, but to be itself, to express itself, to be free enough to live in a very different way. I think it was the first week I mentioned about my background in organized religion. And although for a time I did feel at peace with certain beliefs, those beliefs collapsed in real life. They didn't transfer into how I was living. And gradually I came to see that those beliefs weren't the truth, and that truth would inform the way I lived. If truth is truly true, then it will be true in all areas of life. And that's the truth that I then began to seek. I was tired of believing things and not living them. I wanted to know how to live in this world. Yes, I wanted inner peace, this sense of well-being. But I wanted that sense of well-being to live freely, to live well, to be able to love those who I was with to be able to express that love. So after the shift of understanding, and there was this profound sense of well-being and peace, although I had a lot of conditioning play out for quite a while, but I knew inner peace. I knew it to be so. I knew it to be my true sense of self. But yet I still wasn't able to live freely, to express myself in love or in freedom, because conditioning continued to play out for quite some time. So my inquiry continued for quite a while. Because for me, I had to make sure that this that I knew to be true would actually affect how I lived. I had to be sure before I fully, completely trusted it. Because I didn't want to continue with just sensing something was true and not living it. So even on one level, even though I wasn't sure, on another level, I knew it to be true, and that's why I continued to look, to confirm in all conditions, regardless of what was happening. It was like a scientist. I had to make sure that what I knew to be true, this stillness, this peace within, would hold up in every moment, regardless of conditions. So if there was a flat tire, or my battery died, or the body got ill, or one of my children was having a rough time, or whatever it was, I looked and I confirmed what is now, what is true now. Is my sense of self truly affected by anything? Or is there peace now? Is there wholeness now? And gradually, this knowing stabilized. This, because I was committed to perceiving correctly, as the Course in Miracles points to, perceiving correct perception leads to knowledge. Freedom is really what we all seek. We seek happiness, yes. We seek peace, yes. But why? Why do we seek these things? Why do we want inner peace and happiness? Because we want to live freely. We want to express our freedom. We want to actually be who we are. Not just know it internally, but to know it so fully we live it, we are it, we're expressing it. So it's as if this harmony within this human expression, this harmony of understanding and sensing and expressing what we are, is in harmony with life itself. It is all one, life expressing itself as this human expression. And so the inquiry is what reveals this harmony of understanding and sensing. And when we have this harmony of understanding who we are, what we are, this wholeness, and then we sense it, we don't just have this understanding, but we sense it, we know it. And that harmony allows us to then express what we are. So even though we were conditioned to have this feeling that there's something wrong with us and we need to be healed and fixed, we come to see that it's a healing of perception. It's not that we need to be fixed, but how we're seeing ourselves needs to be fixed. And how we're seeing ourselves is the same as how we're now seeing life. In this moment. It's always in this moment. So when we judge, which is another way to say when we identify with thought, then we feel as if something is lacking. Our perception is off. We're seeing through the filters. So when we recognize that, we feel the contraction in the body, we feel a sense of stress or discomfort, dissatisfaction, and that's progress to see it as not natural. And then we have the opportunity to just find out in this moment if it's true that there is something wrong, if that there's something lacking. So we're not believing anything. We're discovering life now directly. Direct perception rather than filtered perception. direct perception reveals that what is now is unconditional and uncaused. It's not caused by anything, this stillness, this peace. It always is, regardless of conditions, regardless of any thought that passes through, any feeling that we sense in the body, regardless of anything that we feel is happening out there. And being aware of that contrast between our sense of self when we're not identified with thought and that sense of self when we are provides a good contrast. And then when we see that contrast, we also see that we have a choice. We have a choice to continue to identify with thought or not. We have a choice to sense our natural state of well-being or go with the false conditioned sense of self that feels as if it's lacking. If we go with the false sense of self that feels as if it's lacking, then we'll also feel as if we have to get what we need by whatever means necessary. We'll feel as if we have to try to control and manipulate other people or life in subtle ways and not so subtle ways. All of which will, of course, create more suffering. But even suffering points the way back. When we suffer enough, then we become desperate to find a way out. So nothing really goes to waste. Life uses it all, even our suffering. But there are those of us who are completely tired of suffering and truly want to know the truth. And for those, the truth is here and now. Nothing more is needed. It's just the dropping of all beliefs, all expectations. This is the unlearning that A Course in Miracles points to. The unlearning is disidentification with thought, and it's always now in this moment. The unlearning is openness to life now as it actually is. It's the direct perception of life, unfiltered. The unlearning is not something that needs to be learned. Because it's always now. I'd like to see if anybody has anything to share or any questions or comments. Wonderful. Thank you for your comments. This unlearning that the Course talks about it is now, it's always now. And as we trust now, now reveals itself more and more to us. Things become very clear and the understanding deepens. So gradually, we come to know that it's not only that we are this wholeness, that which is without lack, but we are also that which is without separation. So it's not as if we're these separate whole consciousnesses. Initially, it might feel that way in our experience, but as we continue to trust the truth of what we know, it reveals itself to us more and more. As we move through life with this understanding, so we come to realize that we're not these separate personal beings. The personal feel to experience dissolves. We don't take our thoughts personally. Or our feelings, what other people say to us, gradually all of that falls away. Because when we're taking ourselves to be personal and separate, then fear is normal. It's normal to fear life when we're taking ourselves to be separate. It's not natural, but it's normal. So awakening is about coming to know who we are, being conscious of who we are, being conscious that the sense of stillness and peace is our very natural state. So we're no longer mistaking peace as being caused by something out there separate from us. We know it to be uncaused and ever present. A couple of decades before the shift of understanding, I had a glimpse of peace that was so profound that made no sense to me. It seemed like it wasn't. It wasn't attached to anything out there. I had glimpses of peace when I was walking in nature or looking at the night sky. And throughout my life, as things happened the way I wanted them to, they were moments of peace. But I always attributed them to those activities or objects. But one time, I was stressed out, folding clothes, and my young daughter came to me and was talking to me. And this time I stopped what I was doing completely and I turned to look at her. And in that moment, as I looked in her eyes and she spoke to me, there was complete and utter peace and silence. It was truly as if I had moved from one dimension to the next. In one moment, I was stressed out trying to get things done, and in the next moment, it was utter peace and stillness. But then within moments, it was gone as these thoughts came rushing in, and I believed them, and that was it. But it seemed to me that made no sense to me. But then after the shift of understanding, and I remembered that experience, I realized that in that moment of just completely stopping what I was doing and turning to her, turning to my daughter and looking at her in full presence, I had unconsciously just opened, been open to now, to life now, but it was an unconscious opening, so to speak, or an unconscious dropping of identification with thought. I have to get this done. I need to do that. But I just dropped all that, and then there was openness. Openness revealed itself. And then after the shift, I realized that I can choose that consciously at any moment. And that changed everything when I truly saw my choice. So good to be here with you. And if there's anybody who would like to email me with any questions or comments this week, my email is deannastanley@gmail.com. I greatly enjoy hearing from you. Thank you very much. Okay, I'm going to hand over the mic.